Chapter 4. The Moon Rising Over the East River. Neither could disengage. To part now would be like lifting the tone arm in the middle of a song, the sudden silence inexplicable. And yet, as they had passed through the terminal, they hadn't exchanged a word. The darkness above, deep and cool, was broken by the repeated flash of wings as jagged and quick as lightning. Catherine felt as if she were in a cathedral. She would remember for the rest of her life the friction of her shoes against the rough floor that sparkled like the Milky Way, which the lights of the city had banished long before, and how, despite the arbor of sound, boat whistles, ferry engines, water lapping, waves breaking, the jingle of gates opening and closing, taxi horns, the flutter of birds, they had been encased in their own magnificent silence, aware of almost nothing except one another, electrified with a sense of beginning. The air was charged with sunlight, and the streets were crowded with office workers released from financial houses and shipping companies, so that they could stay together, and because the custom had yet to die, Harry offered Catherine his arm, and she took it, lightly. Their second touch, a high, intense pleasure out of all proportion to what anyone casually passing may have guessed. He feared that were he not to introduce some sort of conversation as a guide and to slow the rush, she would vanish as if in a dream. So he asked her where she would like to have dinner. At 4 o'clock. They're having dinner in Spain. Where would you suggest other than Spain? We could gamble. The first place.